This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusumano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusumano with you until 12 o'clock. Chris Gardner in the studio today. He's going to be working double as he prepares for the show with Charles Marlowe. Who's Charles with today?
Matt Whitener.
Oh, very nice.
As Martin's out of town, he's going to join us to check in from Colorado.
Good text here, by the way. Frank, did you happen to watch Steph Curry yesterday golfing in the American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament? Man, that guy can stick a wedge within six foot regularly. Although Mark Mulder won, Curry was on fire. Great athlete. Yeah, I did watch some of that yesterday. I saw some of the highlights this morning. He shot under 70. In fact, he beat his dad, Del Curry, who was also a great NBA shooter, and Dell had to jump into the lake. That was the thing. If you beat me, then I will actually jump in the lake. So Dell, in full clothes, jumped into the lake right after the tournament. And Steph, he even said it. He goes, "This is the best round of golf I've ever played in my life." He was on fire. The crowd was into it. It was really, really good stuff. All right. It's our honor. It's our pleasure every Monday to welcome the Hall of Famer to the program, Rick Humble. Rick, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Very good. All right, so we know at this point moving forward, the closer should be Trevor Rosenthal. Yesterday, did you have a problem with Cecil getting the ninth? How did you see it?
I would rather have seen Rosenthal get the ninth, but Cecil had been really good. And that first play should have been made by DeJong.
Yeah.
That should have been an out, and it wasn't. The Cardinals haven't been good enough to overcome missteps like that. Top of the inning, Fowler got, well, they had four double plays in the game. First of all, Fowler got double off on a ball that was hit right in front of him. He shouldn't be double off on that ball that Jerko hit. So anyway, Cecil made a couple bad pitches. He thought just one, but I was okay with it. I'd rather have had Rosenthal. I would not agree with Rosenthal on the night before when they were four runs ahead in the eighth. That one, I didn't see that as a necessity for him to be in that game because he could have pitched yesterday and maybe today under those circumstances. But so I think as we go ahead here, moving forward, as they like to say, Rosenthal will be the closer, but he won't be tonight, and he may not be tomorrow because he pitched 3 days in a row, I think, for the first time yesterday.
So who would close tonight then? It can't be O, can it?
I'm okay with that. There's no reason they can't get five or six or seven runs and not need a closer. You know, all those games were too tight. In Pittsburgh, they weren't scoring enough runs.
Okay, but what if it's a 2-1 game? Who gets the ninth tonight in New York?
Well, I think Cecil could. Owen Cecil somehow could navigate that between them. You might have Bowman in there. They're all hands are on deck, I think, for the game.
Yeah, I don't know
but
if
I'm okay with O. I mean, I'd rather have Rosenthal, but he's out tonight.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a left-handed hitter if you want O to pitch to him in the ninth inning, but I don't know. Let's talk about the corner outfield spots. Boy, you know, breaking camp, you were in Jupiter the entire time. You thought, well, you had a left fielder coming off a 24 home run season, a little bit uneven, but still, Randall Grichuk had some pretty good potential. And then you had Stephen Piscotty. And now here in July, because of injuries and because Tommy Pham's been so good, you have your corner outfielders, or Pham and Max Sierra for the time being. How do you see that saga?
Well, I saw that coming, of course. No. I play Sierra until he falters where you think it hurts him to be here. When's the last time that you saw an opponent afraid of anybody from the Cardinals on the base pad? It's been a really, really long time, 25, 30 years maybe.
Yeah.
He had Pittsburgh in a – they were bamboozled yesterday. They either let him steal or they threw wide to first and he got to third anyway. If he hits the ball on the ground, it's a hit. This isn't even artificial turf, and he's beating these things out. So I like that dimension against the Cardinals, who didn't really have a dimension until now. Now they do, and I don't. You know, you don't bat him at first because Carpenter's had one of the top on-base percentages in the league. You leave him there, I might have bet him seventh, maybe, but I wouldn't get too crazy. But he's great to have at the bottom of the lineup. He's great to have in the lineup.
We're talking with the great Rick Hummel, brought to you by Dirty Dogs Hot Dogs on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Tommy Pham is getting to a point where not only do you play him every day this year, you can almost say, you know what, he's going to be our guy next year too. That we can, we're pretty good with having a guy who can hit 20 home runs, get on base almost 40% of the time, and steal 20 bases and play great D.
If the next 2 months and 2 weeks are anything like the first 2 months and 2 weeks that he's played, which is about what he's been up there, May 1st to now, it's 2 months and 2 weeks. I say you're right. I want to see that for a whole season, though. And I'm going to reserve judgment until the season's over, but I play him the rest of this season, absolutely. And Grichik and Piscotty, whenever each gets back, will have to wedge their way into the lineup for playing time, because I'm not going to send Sierra back on Thursday when Grichik comes off if he's producing anywhere near to what he's doing now.
You know, it's not just us on talk radio discussing Giancarlo Stanton. It's almost every national scribe on every national show, when they start talking about moves at the deadline, mentioning the Cardinals with Giancarlo Stanton. What do you think, Kamish? You think there's some legs here? You think the two sides have talked and it's actually realistic?
Well, I think you talk. I don't get that vibe that he's the their top choice there because of that enormous contract. At the back end of that, which he's going to be on in a couple of years, is unbelievably crazy, and he's not going to be at the top of his game either then, probably. He'll be in his 30s, and I think the other two guys, Yelich and Osuna, are better players than he is right now. He's a fantastic home run hitter, but he's not a great outfielder. He's got a good arm. And he strikes out a whole bunch. Well, they already do that. You see what it costs. Of course, if he's out there, you see what it costs. But what bang? You better get a lot of bang for that buck. Probably the Marlins haven't felt they got it.
Yeah, I think at the end of his contract, he's like 37. It's not one of those Pujols-type deals where you're paying him $25 million at age 42. So that helps. And are you also a believer, like some, that because the contract is insane, that you would you wouldn't have to give up quite as much? That part of the deal is, hey, we're taking on this contract, but we're not going to give you all that much, and you wouldn't be giving up the top prospects in your organization to get them.
Well, you could be right. If I was the Marlins, I got to ask for something though. I think you owe it to your fan base to get some guys who can actually play as opposed to guys who might be able to play. So, yeah, you look into it. But I don't get the same feel that the Cardinals are as close to pulling that off as some other people might. They could surely use some help in the outfield, though, in a different way maybe than what Sierra's providing. A little more pop would help. But you have guys in your outfield you thought were going to play better, and maybe they will. But you look into it. Heck yeah, you got to look into it.
Lance Lynn is unscored upon in his last two outings. He's certainly helping you on the field and helping you trade value-wise. Kamish, if it looks like it's just not promising for the Cardinals to catch either the Brewers or the Cubs or the wild card spot, Lynn's got to be moved, correct?
Correct, but I don't think in 2 weeks you can determine that, which is where we are now. 2 weeks from today is the deadline for non-waiver trade. You can still make trades by getting waivers till August 31st. So although Lynn likely would not clear waivers. There'd be enough teams that would claim him that would block any trades after that. So I would think, if you think you have a chance, you have to keep Lynn because he's your best pitcher right now, last two or three starts. He and Walker. So I'm not too concerned about that just yet. They have to really have a bad stretch here to be out of this race. Colorado keeps falling back in the wild card derby, as does Arizona. So that's not ridiculously out of question, considering that your next homestand is against Arizona and Colorado. So what if you knock off 5, 6, dare say 7 wins in 7 games in that homestand? Suddenly you're right back in the wild card race.
Who else do you think could be on the trade block for the Cardinals at this point?
Well, I guess teams would ask about Rosenthal, but by the time we get to that point of the calendar, he's going to be their closer, and I don't think he's going to be that available. I think teams might have an interest in Grichuk. I think I don't know about Weaver, how they feel about him. You know, Lynn certainly is the top of the line, but I don't know if they might take a shot at O for a couple months. O's not a bad reliever. He just had some bad ninth innings this year. If you got some guys on their position player side, the regular lineup, not that many really. Richie's got the potential to be a 30 home run hitter and drive in some runs and play good outfield, steal some bags, but he's not going to hit for high average. Depends what you're looking for. But I think those four or five guys I mentioned would be at the top of the list, I guess, and with Lynn being at the very top if he's actually available.
What'd you think of what Washington did yesterday?
And they just kind of shuffled some bodies around, I think. How much better are those guys than Blake Treinen? And I talked to somebody last night, a pretty knowledgeable baseball guy who likes Doolittle, the left-hander. So maybe he'll be a guy you can pitch in the ninth inning. But Dusty still hasn't got that lockdown guy that I think they're going to need. He doesn't have Chapman like he had in Cincinnati. And he had Melanson last year, who was pretty good, but they weren't good enough in the playoffs, and I guess he wasn't either. So Madsen's had some good success and some years not so successful, some arm issues. They got better with that, but I think they were looking for somebody even better than those two.
How soon do we see Carson Kelly?
I would think certainly before August 31st, where he'd be eligible for any kind of playoff situation the Cardinals might be in. Maybe even August 1st. I think he's had enough time in AAA. He's caught a whole year there now. And he gives them a bat off the bench that Fryer does not provide late in the game when he's not playing, and he's pretty much not playing every day. So you could use Kelly as a pinch hitter where you're reluctant to use Fryer. Now, you would have no other catchers there, although I'm sure you could run Voigt back there in an emergency if he's still around because he has caught. But I'd say Kelly will be here sometime in August, if not a little before that. But let's say August.
What do you make of Yadier Molina's power surge in the sunset of his career?
Well, the sun, it's a slow setting sun, certainly, isn't it? He had 362 the second half of last season, and now he's got 10 home runs this year. Home runs are up everywhere, so maybe he's in kind of line with everybody else, but he could hit 15 home runs. Isn't this if they're resting him anymore? He's playing more than he ever did. And luckily, they have no off days for a little while, but they got a few off days in August that'll play into this where he can use him almost every day. But he's a productive player still, and three more years of that doesn't scare me at all.
Will they give Aledmys Diaz a chance to win the shortstop job back?
I would say he's going to have to hit a little better than 200, which he's been hitting for Memphis. I'm going to leave him down there until he's ready to come up and contribute. He didn't play yesterday, but I think he just got over 200 the night before at 217 or something. I think he could play shortstop a lot. DeYoung hasn't really lost a shortstop job. He's still hitting 300. He didn't make a play yesterday, but he's made some other decent plays. He's not, that position is not up for grabs just yet. It's his job. And Diaz will be back surely in August also, and if he would go on a run and show that he's capable of playing the position defensively, yeah, he could win it back, but I wouldn't give it to him now.
Anybody else out there do you think the Cardinals are looking at in terms of a move? I know they never want to use the vernacular buyers or sellers, but who else could they be kicking the tires on, do you think?
Well, given what we've seen, they need some bullpen help. Even if it's not a top-line closer, you get guys like Washington picked up yesterday. You know, those are kind of guys I'm sure they investigated. They could use a bat somewhere because they're not scoring enough runs. Yesterday looks bad. The closer didn't hold a one-run lead in the ninth inning, but they hit into four double plays and had 13 hits and only got three runs. That's not good. And Jerko, who's been a very solid player all season long, hit into three double plays, two on the ground and one line drive, and was 0 for 5. That's a rare bad game for him, but it came in a tough time. So I think any of those Miami outfielders, Yelich, Osuna, Stanton, you look at, I'm not a Donaldson guy because Jerko's a better player than Donaldson this year and works for far less money. And I don't know where you would play Jericho. You got Colton Wong back at second base. He had a couple hits yesterday, made some nice plays. So he's your guy there. And you don't have really a spotted first base either with Carpenter there. And shortstop looks like it's okay. Catching's okay. So really you're only looking for outfielders, I think. And J.D. Martinez is a rental property, as is Lynn. And do you want – the Cardinals are not usually in the market for rental players unless they're – that close to going all the way. You know, I think J.D. Martinez may not have any interest in playing there after the next 2 months if you get him. If he did, you might take a look at him, but you kind of look at your future. Well, Sierra's going to be your future in the outfield, maybe sooner than we think. Maybe Pham. You got Bader, you got Fowler, you got all kinds of guys. So it's a hard one, but I'd look at Martinez also if you had reason to believe he might be able to sign him after that.
Good stuff. Commish, we'll talk next week. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right, Rick Hummel's appearance brought to you by Dirty Dogs Hot Dogs. Dirty Dogs Hot Dogs, made with 100% black Angus beef, sandwiched between a homemade bun with over 200 soppings and fixings for your choosing. Also, they're offering a different option, such as the homemade Polish sausage, brats, turkey dogs, spicy sausage, chili dogs, and beef and lamb, pork kielbasa. You can visit them at one of their three locations, South County, Brentwood, and Sunset Hills. Check them out, DirtyDogsHotDogs.com. That's Dirty Dogs with a Z, Hot Dogs with an S. Some great text out there already today. Lines Choice text lines, 855-282-8255. We'll take one of those when we come back.